common to hear when people talk about socialism that socialism and communism have nothing to do with each other. But what's really the case? To learn more about this, the history of communism, the goals of communism, and how these relate to the socialist idea, we've invited to speak with us Paul Kengor. He is a professor at Grove City College and the author of the book, The Devil and Karl Marx. Let's jump into it now. Paul Kengor, it's great having you on Crossroads.
Hey, Josh, it's great to be with you. Thanks.
Yeah, so a lot of people would say that current politics, current, say, culture movements have nothing to do with communism. How do you see communism manifesting in the world right now?
Okay, this is a perfect question. I happen to have this page open, all right? The end of the Communist Manifesto. Everyone remembers the lines, "Workers of the world unite, you have nothing to lose but your chains," right? But in the last paragraph, the last two paragraphs, there's these two really, 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 really crucial lines, okay? And everybody forgets this, all right? By the way, they also call for, quote, "Communism abolishes the present state of things," said Marx and Engels, right? Could you imagine that? But imagine one of my students turning in a paper, right? "In this paper, I will argue for the abolition of the present state of things," right? Oh, is that all, right? But Marx and Engels write this: "They, the communists, openly declare that their ends can be attained only by," are you ready, "the forcible overthrow of all existing social conditions." The communists declare that their ends can be attained only by the forcible overthrow of all existing social conditions. Now, for people who say, communism's really a pretty good idea if you just read the book, really, right? Marx and Engels aren't even careful or nuanced enough to say, you know, the things in society that are bad ought to be changed. In some cases, forcibly overthrown. They're calling for the forcible overthrow of all existing social conditions. Is there anything more radical than that? No. And then they say this. This is in direct answer to your question. "Communists everywhere support every revolutionary movement against the existing social and political order of things. Communists everywhere support every social movement against the existing political social order of things." So this is key. When you think to yourself, why are the communists at that protest, right? What are they doing there? Why are they tearing down that statue? Well, that's got nothing to do with redistribution of wealth. Why are they behind these sex gender people? Marx and Engels didn't care about that. Well, if it has to do with supporting a revolutionary movement against the existing social and political order of things, they'll be there to burn down the house, right? They'll be there with their can of gasoline, with the matches. It's all about takedown, about tearing things down. This is a very radical, destructive ideology. So just when you think that it couldn't have anything to do with tearing down a statue of Junipero Serra or Christopher Columbus, right? Communists would be like, no, no, no. If this is about tearing down the existing social and political order of things, we'll be there, baby, right? We'll be there. So, you know, that's a connection. And I wrote a piece on this for the Epoch Times, I think a few months ago, on the connection between communists and the sort of statue movement, right? Just as the statue movement wanted to tear down, so did Karl Marx.
So, of course, he wrote this book, The Devil and Karl Marx. And a lot of people would see that headline and be like, you know, is this some religious thing? You know, what's this guy getting at? But when you read it, of course, it's a very academic, well thought out, very well sourced book. I'm curious, for people not familiar with how these things would relate in any way possible, what would you tell them?
Well, good question, and thank you. Of course, Karl Marx wrote about religion. I mean, he had his famous Opiate of the Masses essay, where he said that religion is the sigh of the oppressed creature, the heart of heartless conditions, the soul of a soulless world. It is the opiate of the masses. And he also said there too, Josh, everybody forgets about this, but he said in there that the criticism of religion is the beginning of all criticism. And this was a guy who was all about criticism. In fact, he called for, in one letter to a friend, Arnold Rouge, the ruthless criticism of everything that exists, right? The ruthless criticism of everything that exists. So for Marx, for his project, taking down religion was all about what he wanted to do, the abolition of all religion, all morality. And Marx also said communism begins where atheism begins. So yeah, that's kind of the general religious element. And I think what a lot of people don't know, actually what I know a lot of people don't know, is that Marx wrote about the devil. Marx wrote some genuinely chilling, frightening frightening stuff, poems about the devil, plays about the devil. And in some of these cases, it's hard to tell if he's just writing about this in a way that, you know, a writer would, that a writer would write anything, or in his case, if it reflects what he personally believes, if it's autobiographical. I open up the book with a stanza from one of the poems where he says that, in fact, I got the exact quote here. I'll read two of them to you because they're both quite chilling. And I think I want to get them word for word for so people don't accuse me of misrepresenting. Thus heaven I've forfeited. I know it full well. My soul, once true to God, is chosen for hell. Now, he wrote that in 1837, and I think that, Josh, is partly autobiographical because his soul was once true to God. I won't say it was chosen for hell, but it was once true to God. And the other one from 1841, this is called The Player. Look now, my blood dark sword shall stab unerringly within thy soul. The hellish vapors rise and fill the brain. Till I go mad and my heart is utterly changed. See the sword, the prince of darkness sold it to me. For he beats the time and gives the signs. Ever more boldly I play the dance of death. And as I say in the book, you know, what more was communism but kind of a dance of death? I mean, you can't find any ideology in all of history that was responsible for as many deaths as communism, at least 100 million in the last century alone. So it's kind of a long answer to your question, but you know, this is very much, Marx was all about, you know, the ruthless criticism of everything that exists. He had a favorite line of all things from Goethe's Faust, from the Mephistopheles character, the demon, the devil character. And people even said they could hear Marx chanting this, reciting it. And that line was, everything that exists deserves to perish. I mean, imagine that, right? If they asked me or you, Josh, for like a favorite quote, right? I mean, you might give a Bible quote, be not afraid, a quote from a saint or something like that. Imagine somebody saying, ah, yes, Mephistopheles, Goethe's Faust, everything that exists deserves to perish. And that was Marx. Marx was all about burning down the house. This is a very destructive ideology from a very destructive man. And I would add here too, in case I think you wanted to ask about this, I know that that a lot of people today will say, oh, well, I'm not a communist, I'm a socialist, right? Well, according to Marx and Engels, socialism was the final transitionary step to communism. So society and these kind of these dialectical steps, phases, humanity would go from slavery to feudalism, to capitalism, to socialism, to communism. Marion Smith at the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation, I really like this, Josh. He says when he's asked to define the difference between a socialist and a communist, he often says that, well, just like a Christian aspires to heaven, a socialist aspires to communism. And I like that comparison because of the religious element to it. Because for communism is that new Jerusalem. It's that utopia on earth without religion, right? That is what they aspire to. And so a modern day socialist might say, well, all right, but I'm still not a communist. Well, okay, hey, fine. All right. We're in this modern dictatorship of relativism where everybody's making up their own definitions of everything, right? But I can tell you that according to Marxist-Leninist theory, you read Marx, read Lenin on the state and revolution, communism or socialism is the final transitionary step to communism. That's what it is. That's what it is. If you want to call it some other modern form, call yourself a democratic socialist. All right, whatever, man. But you know, you need to go back and read this stuff and understand it and have a better idea of what you're advocating. And really, that's why I wrote this book, because so many of the people advocating this stuff do not know just how incendiary, destructive, and in some cases, diabolical.
You hit on some very interesting points. One being the nature of Marx in terms of his writings being mostly based on criticism, and antithesis, right? The antithesis. So,
right.
And of course, if we understand the era in which Marx, you know, what existed, right? That was at a time when Hegelian dialectics was the main metaphysical theory in at least parts of Germany at that time, being thesis, antithesis, synthesis, the outcome of a dialectical conflict, right? And it's interesting because if Marx did study the devil and he did study these types of things, he would understand the very basic nature of it being to contest or being to invert the morals or ideas of a society. You know, if you look at what the devil represented to Christianity, it was just the inversion of the Christian system, mm-hmm. practicing the opposite of its morals and traditions. And if we understand Marx is just working based on criticism, just working on inversion, then that starts telling us something about him. And we can see this, I think, manifested very clearly in dialectical materialism, which is identify, contradict, and eliminate the middle, meaning invert the principles of each society and then build social movements around them to manifest them in the human world. I'm curious, yeah. What would you say about this? You know?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, Christ said to Satan, right, man does not live on bread alone. And ironically, you know, what Marxism was all about was if we solve the economic problem, we can solve the human problem, right? It was, Augustine said, we have a God-shaped vacuum in all of us. So it's, in other words, it's a vacuum that only God can fill. Marx and the Marxists, and by the way, many atheistic socialists act as if we have a God, as if we have a dollar-shaped vacuum in each of us. If we can just solve the money problem, the economic problem, the class problem, then we'll have this sort of New Jerusalem. So it's this strictly atheistic, materialistic philosophy. It's funny, Josh, I hear this all the time from people on the left. You know, they accuse conservatives and free marketers of greed, of being obsessed with money. Are you kidding me? Yeah, it's socialists and Marxists who are obsessed with money. It's all they think about. I mean, they completely disregard the spiritual. Everything for them is about economics, money, class. They're obsessed with money. Marx is obsessed with money. And Marx, who, by the way, was very anti-Semitic. And I spend a lot of time in this book on Marx's anti-Semitism, on his racism. And it's ironic in the case of him being anti-Semitic, because he was an ethnic Jew who came from a long family of rabbis. But he said, the Israelite faith is repulsive to me. That's an exact quote. And he said, what is the worldly cult of the Jew? Money. Haggling. The worldly god of the Jew. Money. And I read that and I'm thinking, no, Marx, your worldly god is money. All right. You're the one who's obsessed with money. Right. It's funny. It's the thing that they accuse others of is actually what they're obsessed with. So, yeah, you're right. And to hit on the prior point you made, Josh, on the devil as this character of rebellion. Oh, yeah, that's crucial here. And that's what a lot of these atheists, socialists and communists actually admired about the devil, even though they themselves were atheists. A contemporary of Marx, Mikhail Bakunin, wrote about, I quote him at length in this book, and he wrote about Satan as this glorious rebel who, as Saul Alinsky put it, right? Saul Alinsky in the beginning of Rules for Radicals includes an acknowledgement to Lucifer. And the exact quote is something to the effect of, lest we forget at least an over-the-shoulder acknowledgement to that first of all rebels who, in rebelling against God, the establishment, won himself his own kingdom, Lucifer, right? And that's from Saul Alinsky. So they like the devil as a sort of rebellious fist in the air, character of abolition, of destruction, of Antichrist. And Marx liked that about the devil as well. There's no question about it.
This is very interesting. Now, one thing I found interesting reading about the origins and history of communism is that actually, if you go back to the late 1800s and early 1900s, the way that communism was often discussed was not based on sociology or economy like we discuss it today. It was actually about metaphysics and ontology. And your book is very interesting because I think it's the first modern book that talks about communism from a metaphysical standpoint. I'm curious, you know, a lot of people these days would say Marxism, communism, even socialism, they're economic theories. They have nothing to do with religion. What would you tell them on that?
Yeah, well, that's where they miss everything. And in fact, the foreword to the book is written by Michael Knowles. And Michael has this great line in there where he said, conservatives, you know, talk again and again about how communism distorts markets, right? That kind of thing. He's like, well, I mean, obviously, communism economically doesn't work. He said, but what really needs to be emphasized here, underscored, is that communism doesn't work because it's evil. It's diabolical. In fact, as a number of different people have said over the years, over the centuries, Pope Benedict XVI said this, Pope John Paul II said this, the communists get their anthropology wrong, their understanding of human nature wrong. I mean, it's not just wrong in a economic sense, a philosophical sense, a political sense, a spiritual sense, but anthropologically, they don't understand human nature. And when you say, as Marx and Engels do in the Communist Manifesto, they wrote the entire communist theory or program may be summed up in the single sentence, abolition of private property. So if you were to ask somebody, if you were to say, okay, define communism in a sentence, well, that's easy. Marx and Engels did that for you. They said, okay, here it is. The entire communist theory or program may be summed up in the single sentence. What I'm saying here is verbatim out of the manifesto. Abolition of private property. Abolition of private property. Now, right then and there, you could just stop. I mean, you know right away. I mean, you know, my 9-year-old daughter could tell you, you know, they're going to have to kill 100 million people to put that into place. I remember one Marx biographer who I quote in the book, and he says, oh, it's unfair. It's ridiculous to blame Marx for the gulags. Really? I you're going to call for the abolition of private property? By the way, not to mention, as they say in the manifesto, abolition of all religion, all morality, quote, abolition of the family, exclamation mark, even the most radical flare-up of this infamous proposal of the communists, unquote. I mean, this guy was about criticism, abolition, 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 abolition. And of all things, to abolish private property, you're going to have a war on your hands. You're going to need guns. You're going to need gulags. I mean, back to religion. I mean, this is as basic Judeo-Christian law, natural rights, biblical rights, thou shalt not steal. I mean, from the cave to the courthouse, the right to own property is fundamental to human nature, let alone any operating economy anywhere. So again, these guys, Engels, Marx especially, they got their anthropology wrong. They got their understanding of human nature wrong. And I hear again and again from people, in fact, some of the surveys out there, Josh, where they'll ask young people, what do you think of communism? And you know, one third, a fourth, a third, even higher now will say favorable things about it. And then they'll ask them, really? Okay, well, define it. And they'll say, oh, well, communism is about sharing. It's about helping one another. It's about being kind to one another. The next question should be, really, have you actually read the manifesto? And their honest answer to that should be, obviously, no. I haven't read the manifesto because there's nothing positive there at all. I mean, this is destructive from start to finish.
Now, Paul, a lot of people, of course, would talk about the, say, communist movements that exist in the world right now. And a lot of these movements would deny that they have anything to do with Marx. Even though if you go in history, you'd say, okay, they're kind of based on critical race, they're kind of based on these different offshoots, a lot of them would deny that they have anything to do with communism. Now, in terms of what these people are carrying out, in terms of where it's going, where would you say the world is heading right now as these different movements are being carried out?
Well, it's a good question. And communism has become so redefined, a lot like socialism, democratic socialism. In fact, a lot of democratic socialists, I find when I talk to these people, that a lot of them are really just social democrats, right? They get so much of this language confused. They don't even understand it. A lot of it's not taught very well, if it's taught at all, and people really don't understand it. But around the world, I mean, if you really want to look at communism applied by the book, it's probably countries like Cuba, North Korea. You know, China's a big problem, but China's not abolishing all private property, right? I mean, North Korea has, Cuba has. And you know, it's one thing you hear all the time is from communists and socialism. Oh, communism's a pretty good idea if you just read the book. It hasn't been applied correctly yet, right? It's like, well, when is it going to be applied correctly? Can you tell me? And Marx and Engels, if you actually read the manifesto, there's a 10-point plan. And it calls for things like abolition of property, abolition of all right of inheritance, which is something that I like to point out to young people, right? Someone sitting in a Starbucks sucking on a grande skim latte with an iPhone and a laptop. Hey, how would you like to not have your right to inheritance? All of your parents' money has to go to the government or wherever. Or one of the lines in the 10-point plan, which calls for a more equal distribution of the population across the countryside, where they seek to redistribute not just your money and your property, but you. They wanted a more equal distribution of people. So the forcible relocation of people. That happened in China. That happened in Cambodia. That has happened in other different countries around the world. So, you know, for people that want to do, you know, some form of collectivization, wealth redistribution, helping the poor, whatever, fine, you know, do that through your social democracy, right? You know, follow some Western European country. But I could tell you, communism is not your answer. I mean, that is an utterly destructive ideology that doesn't work. And if you don't understand why, you need to read some books. Read the Communist Manifesto. It should be very clear to you right away.
Hey, Paul Kengor, where can people find your book?
Well, just go to Amazon.com. It's published by Tan Books. You go to the website for Tan Books and just type in The Devil and Karl Marx. There you go.
Hey, thanks again for being on Crossroads.
Hey, thanks, Josh. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.